Welcome to the masterclass. In this lesson, we're going to tighten a Jack and Jungle and Old School D&B bass line in Ableton Live 12 so it locks harder with the break, hits with more confidence, and feels properly rolling, gritty, and dance-floor ready. If your bass line has ever felt loose, smudged, or just a little too soft around the edges, this lesson is for you. In drum and bass, the bass isn't just a separate musical part. It has to sit inside the rhythm. It has to answer the drums. It has to leave space for the snare, stay disciplined in the low end, and still bring that nasty energy. So the big idea here is simple. Tight D&B bass is about rhythm, space, and control. We'll use Ableton Live 12 stock tools to get there. That means MIDI editing, groove pool, track timing, EQ, compression, saturation, filtering, utility, and a few arrangement tricks that make the whole thing feel more jacked. Now, before we touch the bass, we start with the drums. Always, in this style, the bass should serve the break, not fight it. So load in a chopped breakbeat, or sequence your own break pattern, and get that loop feeling solid first. If you've got a kick pattern underneath, make sure it supports the groove instead of cluttering it. Loop 4 or 8 bars and really listen to the relationship between the kick, the snare, and the ghost notes. This matters because if the drums are unstable, you'll end up blaming the bass for a drum problem. That's a classic trap. Fix the rhythmic foundation first, then the bass can lock in properly. If you're chopping breaks in Ableton, simpler is your friend. Sliced new MIDI track is another great move if you want more control over the programming. And if your break already has a swing that feels right, you can pull that feel into Groove Pool and use it as a reference for the bass later. Next, write a simple bass line that supports the groove. Don't overcomplicate it at the start. In Jungle and Old School D&B, a strong bass motif usually works better than a busy one. Think in 1-bar or 2-bar loops. Use offbeat phrasing. Leave gaps for the snare and key break accents. Let the bass answer the drums rather than constantly filling every slot. A good starting point is to place short notes on the ands between the main hits, then build a repeating pattern with small variations. A really useful mindset here is this. If the bass feels busy before it feels tight, simplify it. Now let's get into one of the biggest fixes in the whole process, and that's tightening note lengths in the MIDI editor. Open your MIDI clip and look at the bass notes. A lot of loose bass lines are just too long. They smear into the next hit, blur the groove, and make the low end feel lazy. Select the notes and shorten them so they stop before the next drum hit or before the next bass note. Create little bits of air where the rhythm needs space. For sub notes, go shorter than you think, especially if a kick or snare is coming up. Mid-bass notes can be a little longer, but they still need to stay rhythmically clean. Restabs should be controlled too, because punch matters more than sustain in this style. If you want a practical starting point, try shortening the bass by a tiny amount so it feels more percussive. You're not trying to kill the groove. You're trying to stop the bass from bleeding into everything else. And here's a good teacher tip. If you want the line to feel more musical without making it longer, use velocity and clip envelope movement instead of extra note length. That keeps the rhythm tight while still giving you expression. Now, if the bass line feels too rigid compared to the break, we can use groove pool. But use groove intelligently. Don't just randomize it and hope for magic. Pull a groove from the break into groove pool if that helps. Apply it to the bass clip gently, maybe around 10-30% to start. Keep the timing subtle. Keep random very light. The idea is not to make the bass late and floppy. The idea is to let it suggest the same feel as the break while staying controlled. In old school jungle, there's often a slightly dragged or swung feeling, but the low end still has to feel locked. Loosen the vibe, not loosen the timing. Now let's separate the bass into sub and mid layers. This is huge for control. The sub layer is your weight and foundation. The mid layer is your character, aggression, and rhythm. If you try to make one sound do both jobs, it often turns into a muddy mess. For the sub, use something clean like operator or a simple sine or filter triangle tone. Keep it mono. Keep it centered. Avoid stereo spread. Avoid heavy distortion unless it's very subtle. The sub should feel disciplined. For the mid layer, use Wavedable, Analog, Drift, or another Ableton device that gives you movement and attitude. This is where you can bring in Reese texture, grit, and some classic D&B pressure. High pass it around the low end so it doesn't fight the sub. Then shape it with auto filter, saturator, overdrive, or amp. That's how you get the bass to talk. Now we lock the bass to the kick and snare. This is where it starts feeling properly tight. In jungle and D&B, the snare is usually the anchor. The kick supports momentum. The bass has to leave room for both. So solo the drums and bass together. Listen carefully, and look for places where the bass is stepping on those main hits. Shorten the problem notes. Move the phrase slightly if needed. And if the whole thing is consistently late or early, use track delay or clip start adjustment for a surgical timing fix. One important thing here, don't overshift the whole bass line. Tightening should be precise, not sloppy. If the groove feels late, check whether the sound itself is slow to speak. Sometimes the MIDI is fine, but the synth has too much attack or release, where the stereo effect is smearing the timing. Now let's talk sidechain compression. In DNB, sidechain isn't just about pumping for effect. It can help the bass speak clearly against a busy drum pattern. Put compressor on the bass group or on the subtrack. Use the kick or a ghost trigger as the sidechain source. Start gently. A ratio around 2:1 to 4:1 is a good range. Keep attack fairly quick, release in a musical range, and aim for just a few dB of gain reduction to begin with. For the sub, keep the sidechain transparent. Too much and the low end disappears. For the mid-bass, you can be a little more aggressive if it helps the break cut through. In some cases, you may even want to automate the volume with utility for more precision. Next, let's shape the transients and the perceived punch with saturation and compression. A bass line can feel tighter simply because it becomes more audible and more consistent. On the mid-bass, try an EQ cut to remove mud, then saturator with a bit of drive, then compressor to control the envelope. You want controlled punch, not flattened life. A little soft clipping can help tame peaks and make the bass feel more solid. Saturation is especially useful because it helps the bass translate on smaller speakers. You're adding harmonics, not just volume. Then use utility to keep the low end centered. This is especially important in old-school style bass, where the sub should feel rock solid in the middle. If the bass is huge but weak, there's a good chance the low end is too wide and facey. Narrow it. Mono it. Make the center do the work. EQ8 is where you clean the lane. Keep the fundamentals stable in the sub region, usually somewhere around 40 to 90 Hz depending on the sound. Cut unnecessary mud in the low mids if it's building up, and watch the range where the bass might be fighting the snare or the break texture. Use surgical cuts where needed, but don't overprocess it to death. You want character, not a hollow shell. Now, here's something people forget. Arrangement can make the bass feel tighter too. Sometimes the fix isn't more processing, it's better phrasing. In jungle and old school DNB, a 1-bar mute before a fill can make the return hit way harder. You can use 8-bar phrases with slight variations. Drop the bass for a moment to let the drums breathe, or open a filter into the drop for extra movement. Let the bass come and go with intent, that breathing is part of the vibe. Constant full energy bass can actually feel less powerful than a bass line that knows when to disappear. Another important habit, check the bass at different playback levels. This is a huge test for tightness. If the line still speaks quietly, that means the rhythm and harmonics are doing their job. If it disappears or gets messy when the volume drops, go back and fix the timing, the note lengths, or the tonal balance. Always check in mono too. Use utility, flip to mono and listen for phase issues. If the sub vanishes, the bass is too wide. If it smears over the snare, the envelope or sidechain needs work. If it still feels good quietly and in mono, you're in a strong place. Let's talk about some common mistakes. The first one is making notes too long. That's a classic reason bass gets muddy in DNB. Another mistake is overgrooving the bass until it feels lazy. The swing should support the rhythm, not drag behind it. A third mistake is putting stereo effects on the sub. That usually causes phase trouble and weak translation. People also overcompress the bass and kill the bounce, or they try to force one layer to do everything instead of separating sub and mid. And sometimes the bass is not the real problem at all, because it isn't responding to the break properly. So always listen for the relationship, not just the sound. If you want a darker, heavier, more vintage feel, there are a few great extra moves. Add a touch of oscillator drift for subtle instability. Use harmonic layering instead of just turning the bass louder. Try a little filter envelope movement so each note has more bite. Build a controlled throat region in the low mids for attitude. And if you really want grit, do parallel distortion on a duplicate of the mid layer, high pass it, and blend it under the clean sound. That way you keep the core stable while adding dirt. Resampling is another powerful trick. Print the bass to audio, chop it, reverse tiny bits, relayer it, and then apply fades and clip gain. This can create that authentic rave-era energy, where the bass feels alive and slightly unpredictable, but still controlled. For arrangement, think about elevation across 8 or 16 bars. Add a ghost note, brighten the filter, increase distortion a touch, or reinforce the octave slightly as the section repeats. You're not rewriting the whole part every time. You're making small changes that keep the pattern alive. You can also use answer phrases. Let the drums do a busy two-bar movement, then let the bass respond in the next two bars. That call and response energy is a big part of why jungle feels so musical and so physical. Here's a great practice exercise to finish with.